In our series on the letter of Paul to the Philippians, we have come to the last chapter, Philippians chapter 4, of which we read to verses 10 to 23, from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, page 1166 in our Pew Bible, 1166. Philippians 4, verse 10, this is the word of God. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's our scripture passage, and our focal point will be in verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this time of year, brothers and sisters, can be very hectic for many. The children are busy in school. The students have their study assignments and tests. The parents juggle their time between work and church activities and school functions. The office bearers have resumed their busy schedule of visits, etc., etc. With enthusiasm and good intentions, I'm sure, we have returned to our regular tasks following the summer months, which were of a somewhat different pace. We resumed our regular schedules and activities, optimistic about possibilities, thankful for opportunities, eager to carry out the various callings we have. Indeed, glad and grateful we are that we may be involved in the service of God, seeking His kingdom and building His church at this place. Or are we? Or are we? Doesn't it also seem overwhelming at times? Where do we find the time for it all? How are we going to do it? Where do we get the strength for the various tasks and callings? I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That sounds easier said than done. Maybe Paul could do so, but that's certainly not me. That's too optimistic in my case. With the size of my family, or with the illness in my life, or with the tensions in my relationships, I can do everything through him who strengthens me, I wish. Still, beloved, that's how the apostle puts it. How could he do so? What did he mean to say? How does his apostolic comment help us, encourage us today in the midst of such a busy season or amid so much concern and brokenness and grief? That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn this morning. As we hear God's word, Paul testifies of his Christian contentment in his service to God. First of all, as servant of Christ. Secondly, in communion with Christ. And thirdly, with the power of Christ. That's how I would like to summarize the message of our text. Paul testifies of his Christian contentment in his service to God. As servant of Christ, in communion with Christ, and with the power of Christ. So first of all, Christian contentment for the servants of Christ. From the letter to the Philippians, brothers and sisters, we clearly sense the special bond there is between the Apostle Paul and the congregation at Philippi. And that's probably so because of the fact that Philippi was the first congregation on the European continent, as we can see in Acts 16. Then there continued to be many contacts and interactions between the congregation and the apostle. Yet in every way, the relationship flourished and was cause of much joy. And indeed, these feelings were mutual, as also appears from our scriptural passage. For the Philippians, Paul had a special place in his heart, and Paul's well-being was of special concern to them. At least, when they found out that Paul had ended up in prison, they immediately sent out one of them, Epaphroditus, to bring him some supplies and give him some comfort and encouragement. Of course, Paul is happy with this show of affection, and he appreciates the supplies. Only, it seems as if Paul has some problem with it as well. So what's Paul's problem, beloved? Well, Paul wants to convey to these Philippians that he had not really been stuck or in need of these supplies. It's not as if he had been waiting for that support. That may not sound too kind at first hearing, brothers and sisters. Yet, Paul doesn't mean that in a negative way. Rather, he wants to make the Philippians aware of his overall state of mind. As he has done in the entire letter, Paul wants to encourage them in their circumstances, and for this encouragement, he wants to hold up to them his own approach, his own experiences, and his own way of dealing with the circumstances. That's why he testifies of his contentment to them. He wants to show them that as child of God, as servant of Christ, he is always content. As he had said earlier, rejoice in the Lord always. So he expresses a similar sentiment here. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I am content whatever my circumstances, the apostle testifies. Now the word he uses literally means that he is self-sufficient, satisfied. To us that might come across as somewhat complacent, even arrogant perhaps. Yet for Paul it means that whatever he receives in whatever his circumstances, it's sufficient for himself. The circumstances do not determine his happiness and well-being. The circumstances don't control my life, my joy, and my peace of mind. Now, Paul does not mean this in the way of the Stoics who practiced their self-sufficiency in their life. They stood above the fray, above the ups and downs of life, remaining untouched and unmoved by them. They just detached themselves from riches or poverty, from health or sickness, living as they did in their ivory tower and concerned only with the higher aspects of life. No, that's not the way Paul means it at all. Paul knows about poverty and riches. He experienced the comforts of prosperity while at other times he lacked the basic necessities of life. Paul certainly was familiar existentially and experientially with illness, pain, hunger, and the like. He was stoned, scourged, imprisoned, deprived of food and drink at sea, and shipwrecked. These were the circumstances, and in the midst of them, he was content. So why does Paul mention this, beloved? And why does he share this with the Philippians and with us in his epistle? What's he speaking about? He is speaking about plenty and poverty, about hunger and satisfaction, in his life of service. It's his service to God that's central in his epistle. Right away in this epistle, Paul shares with them his imprisonment, which turned out as an opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel, including witnessing to the palace guard and those of Caesar's households. Such things brought joy to his heart and thanks to his lips. Paul was assured in himself, he writes, that Christ would continue to be glorified by him, either in his continuing work or even by his death. That's what Paul shares with his readers to show that the service of God continues, whatever the circumstances, and that God meets all his needs in these circumstances. Now, how is that with us, beloved, with you or me? Can we speak that way too? How do we take it when we are humbled? How do we cope in the midst of troubles? Can we stay content, whatever the circumstances? Is there not despair instead, or anger, bitterness, resentment? And how is that when things are going well, when everything works out, and we can handle the load? Are we then content, irrespective of the circumstances, living close to God in every situation? Are you then inclined perhaps to think, oh sure, that's Paul for you. He has such a great faith, such a strong faith. That's not how it is though. Paul was just like you and me. A man who was imperfect, weak, and who even had a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Take note of the fact that Paul puts it this way. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Paul has learned it in the circumstances in which God brought him. God trained him and made him realize, also and especially through this thorn in the flesh, that his grace was sufficient for him. Paul struggled in those circumstances, and he prayed for a change of situation. Yet God made him aware of his care always, of his nearness as a father. Nothing could separate him from the love of God because it was there for him in Christ Jesus his Lord. That's what it was, beloved. Paul knew himself a servant of Jesus Christ. He purchased him with his precious blood. He cared for him so that not a hair could fall from his head without the will of his heavenly Father. That's how the people of Christ may stand in this world in the midst of their circumstances. They may know that whatever the circumstances, more important is the fact that I am in the Father's hands. That Christ will take care of me and help me. Thus Paul learned from experience not to look at poverty or riches or hunger or plenty, but to look on his service. Content and confident, God would fill his needs. He did not depend on the situation, not on the support of the Philippians either for that matter. He was content with the promises and provisions of the Lord in his circumstances. Indeed, then, we too should first of all realize that it is God who places us in the situation. Then we have to see our place in the circumstances, first of all, as a calling from the Lord, realizing that Christ has put us here in his service. Well, as people who belong to Christ with body and soul in life and death, we confess and testify that our life is in God's hand. The Father knows our circumstances and needs, our gifts and our weaknesses. Christ gives us a place and calling in the midst of his people and in the midst of this world in which his kingdom is coming. And the Holy Spirit makes us heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's what matters when we are busy in this new season of congregational life. So how can we do that? Well, that's our second point. Christian contentment in communion with Christ. Indeed, beloved, that's still the question that may be lingering in our minds. How could Paul live that way? Well, Paul says, I can do everything in him who gives me strength. Notice that I have translated Paul's words literally, in him, in the one who gives me strength. Hence, we should not right away jump to the fact that our strength is from Christ. We should see, first of all, that we have this contentment in a life that is lived in communion with him. For our life in his service, there has to be an intimate bond with Christ, first of all. In a living communion with him, we seek him every day, we walk with him, and we ask again and again, What does Christ want me to do in my circumstances, in the midst of my situation, with its challenges, troubles, or with my success and profits? You see, beloved, Paul's contentment is not a self-sufficiently in which he finds the motivation and stimulation, the confidence and trust in himself, but in Christ. He is conscious of the fact that he is an office bearer of Christ. He knows that since he belongs to Christ and that he is an instrument in the hand of Christ in the place he has given, it's no longer he that lives, but Christ who is living in him. Of course, then we need to maintain this communion with Christ, first of all. We need to seek this communion every day in the way of prayer, in the way of listening to God, thinking of his word, listening to Christ. A life of service, therefore, without our daily devotions, cannot flourish or succeed. A life of participation in any of the congregational activities without first seeking and practicing this communion with Christ, our head, will not blossom. We need to know Christ. Know him intimately, personally. In the midst of the circumstances, we are to live with him and he in us. We are to love him and live for him. That's Paul's secret, beloved. That's how he experienced the power of his love, the joy of his nearness, the hope and the courage to continue. He spoke to him and did all his work together with him. That's evident so much that he doesn't even need to mention actually that it is Christ in whom he finds his strength. Indeed, that's so beautiful about the life of a Christian. You are never alone. You're always together with Christ. That is, if you live for Christ, walk with him, listen to him, and look up to him. It also means that you do what he says and avoid things that are not helpful for your relationship with him, for your service to him. If you are involved in his congregation, serve in his kingdom and desire to be fruitful, but don't live by his will, your prayers will be useless. When we are active in the service of Christ, we should be assured that he is pleased by what he sees and hears, by how we walk and talk. Earlier in our chapter, the verses 8 and 9, Paul already articulated that. You have to apply all that you have learned from him, from Paul, heard from Christ, that is, and know to be good, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, etc. You see, beloved, how we can learn about our Christian contentment from our text. It's in a living communion with Christ that we learn this contentment. Every day we need to renew this communion. Every day we need to look upon our task as a servant of Christ, knowing that he will provide in our needs for the task he gives us in our circumstances. Then we can also help others focus on Christ. The way the apostle does in our text, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. By his word, his promises, By all that he gives, he draws us close to himself, and then in communion with him, we can carry on. That's what binds us together as congregation of Christ. What we have in him. That's what we need to learn from our discussions in our study clubs. What he is doing in this world. What he gives us to do in this world. Yes, what he wants to do in us and with us. Then it's no longer the circumstances that determine our life, our mood, or the peace in our minds, but the fact that we are here for him. With him. And living in him. Then that will give you the boost, the strength to continue, whatever the circumstances. Which is our third point, Christian contentment with the power of Christ. Then we hear Paul say in our text, beloved, I am strong in him who continually makes me strong. So it's not so that Paul made himself strong, stress-proof or so, or survival-safe, as a believer is supposed to be according to some religious counselors. In the sense of, if only you believe and want what you want to do, you can do it. Paul wasn't boasting either, saying to these Philippians, just look at me and see what I can do. What good would that do? All day and we could do in that case would be look at him from a distance, admire it perhaps, and that would be it. I mean, who are we? And what can we do? All it takes is a setback, an illness, a loss, a crisis at work, or we are defeated. No, Paul says, I can do everything in him who gives me strength. Christ gives me the strength. Indeed, beloved, that's the beautiful thing in our life as Christians. To be a Christian is not just having a certain theory or philosophy, a certain worldview. It's having a tremendous power come into your life. In Christ you have a new life. And that new life renders you a strength that exceeds your own weaknesses. In fact, as in Paul's case, God sometimes makes you weak. Lets you become weak. Takes away from you what could naturally be a source of strength to you, like your health or your energy or your possessions. He does so. To show you that the strength for your task, for your calling, your service, is not from you, but from your Heavenly Father. The weaker you are sometimes, the more strongly the power of God manifests itself in your life. Indeed, your faith in Christ, beloved, you don't have to make you feel good. To make you feel good about yourself, as our modern society tries to make people feel good about themselves, about anything. No, by faith in Christ, we seek his strength for any and all situations. His grace is sufficient for us in the most difficult circumstances. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I think I can do it, I can't handle it. This illness of my husband, this task as a young widow, this tension in my marriage, this problem at work, then Christ says, in my power you can do it. In answer upon your prayer, I will give you the strength for it. then the power we receive doesn't make us do exceptional things the way the world wants to impress when people come across as strong. No. By Christ's power, you are able to do what He calls you to do and be content with that, whatever the circumstances. Christ strengthens you to be at peace and accept the circumstances and go forth in His might. His power is made perfect in our weakness, beloved. When I feel like I can't go on any longer, Christ knows it and gives me strength to carry on. That's the confidence we may seek to the point that we become content with our life, including the frustrations, the obstacles, the struggles of every day, and say, I can do everything in Him who gives me the strength. He makes you a content and confident child of God who does not depend on the circumstances for his happiness, but on Christ. That's the faith which unites us too, which helps us encourage each other as well. The circumstances are different for each one of us, but whether you are enjoying plenty or suffering weakness, together we share in this power of Christ we have in our communion with Christ. What a blessing it is, beloved, that we may share in this gospel during a busy season. Together, we are servants of Christ among the people of Christ under the calling of Christ. And we may remind each other of the promises of Christ. What a riches we share when we encourage one another with the communion and power in Christ for the circumstances in which we find each other. In the case of illness, chronic or terminal, grieving the loss of a loved one, the loneliness, the daunting tasks, in times of financial tensions, business challenges, or trying circumstances, then to know that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's also the gospel the office bearers may bring into the homes. It's the counsel they may give in all and various situations. With this love, wisdom, and strength of Christ, we may upbuild one another. Christ has given us to each other. The way He bound the Apostle Paul together with that congregation in Philippi. And in Him, we receive the strength to serve our God together. Let us hear what the Spirit says to His church here in Dunville. For it is by His Spirit and Word that Christ makes us partakers of such rich benefits and blessings. Amen.